The Spirit and a Stick, Chapter 6, Long Island, New York. Destiny is not a matter of chance, it is a matter of choice. It is not a thing to be waited for, it is a thing to be achieved. William Jennings Bryan. After another interval of a month, Robbie began to wonder when Red Hawk might return. That night, Red Hawk came to Robbie, who was very happy to see his new friend. Hi, Robbie.
Hi.
How about tonight you tell me where you'd like to go?
Really? Anywhere?
Sure. What do you think?
Well, I guess it would be neat to see how Captain Lewis received the stick. Can we do that?
Okay. Let's go to a town called Uniondale, New York, on Long Island. It's March of 1959. After a long day of meetings with executives of the Long Island Railroad, Doug Turnbull drove past a small high school on his way to dinner. As he drove, he saw a boy in the dark under a single light, practicing his lacrosse skills on a handball court. After dinner, Turnbull drove back past the boy who was still working his skills. The next night, Turnbull drove past again. This time, the boy was practicing under the same light in a steady drizzle. Again, Turnbull saw him on his return trip. On the third night, Turnbull's meetings had run much later than the previous days, and he did not expect to see the boy out so late. Yet there he was, pounding away on the wall. Very impressive, the man thought. He decided to stop and watch the boy. The youngster did not notice that Turnbull had parked nearby and begun to walk slowly toward him. As he watched, Turnbull appropriately kept a respectful distance from the boy. He was most intrigued to see the boy shadow boxing an imaginary defender as he practiced his footwork, dodging, and stick position. Though the man had grown up, played, and presently lived in an area famous for its brilliant high school and collegiate lacrosse, Turnbull had never seen these training tactics employed by a youngster. The boy executed the moves over and over, dodging and shooting. After all six of his balls had slipped away from him, the boy took a break to recover them. Turnbull took the opportunity to approach the boy.
"I've seen you here 3 nights in a row. Do you come here every night?" Turnbull opened.
"Yes, sir, just about every night if it's not raining," the young Lewis replied.
"It was raining last night."
"Not that hard, sir." "Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm Doug Turnbull."
"My pleasure, sir. I'm Jimmy Lewis."
"Do you go to school here?"
"Yes, sir, right there," Lewis pointed. "Uniondale High School."
"What grade are you in?"
"Ninth."
"Well, Jimmy, I have to say that I'm most impressed with your training regimen. I'm from Baltimore, and we like to think our boys are dedicated to the game. But the work I've seen you do would put them to shame." Lewis did not know how to respond. Turnbull continued, "So do they give you homework at Uniondale High School?"
"Yes, sir. I usually go home after practice for dinner, then do my homework for an hour or so, and come back while it's still light. Sometimes I stay after dark."
Lewis had collected all of his balls.
"Don't let me hold you up. Keep throwing, son," Turnbull offered.
Lewis continued with his drills, and Turnbull watched him carefully.
"Did you play lacrosse, sir?"
"Yes, but a long time ago. I haven't played in years."
"What team did you play for?"
"Well, in high school I played at Poly in Baltimore, then Johns Hopkins, then the Mount Washington Club." Lewis felt a new respect for the visitor, knowing that Johns Hopkins and Mount Washington represented the best the game had to offer. He had never seen either team play, but he imagined that his visitor was a famous player.
"Would you happen to have a game tomorrow?"
"Yes, sir, we do. We're playing Massapequa at 4:30 here at home, right there on that field. They're pretty good."
"Mind if I come and watch?"
"No, that would be great." Lewis went home very excited to have met Turnbull and told his mother that the Hopkins player would come watch him play. Red Hawk then took Robbie to the game the next day. They saw Turnbull arrive just as the game began. Turnbull watched Lewis carefully. He knew the boy had something special and could very well be the one he wanted to pass the stick to. Turnbull's presence inspired Lewis to play harder than ever. He scored 2 goals and had 2 assists in a winning effort. Turnbull congratulated the boy after the game.
"Good job, Jimmy. You did an excellent job, and your team played well."
"Thank you, sir, but I could have done a lot better.
I need to figure out why I lose the ball and why it takes so long to pass or shoot it out of the stick. I practice so much, but the stick and I don't seem to work at times. I don't enjoy making mistakes. That's why you saw me at the wall. I know I can figure this game out. Turnbull was impressed. He had intentionally not made mention of that part of the boy's performance, though he had noted it. I think that comes as a natural consequence of your aggressiveness, Jimmy. I really liked how hard you tried to make things happen. Thanks, but I'm still not happy. I've tried to work on it, but I'm really not getting any better. I'm working on different ways to carry my stick with one hand so that I won't lose the ball and also get rid of it quickly, but I just can't get it to work. Turnbull had noticed the unique style and was glad to hear that the boy was consciously attempting it. At that instant, Turnbull realized that this was, in fact, the boy who needed to have the stick. He had clung particularly close to the stick for several years, but knew that eventually he'd have to pass it along. It was time. The stick was not a possession, not someone's property to be passed within one family. It was a tool, and when in the hands of the right person, it would change their life. The stick was not about the past, grieving, or despair. It was about the future, life, and hope. He had only recently allowed himself to seek the next recipient. Turnbull's searches of the playgrounds, sandlots, and fields of Baltimore had not produced the results he had hoped for. He had finally found the right person. Jimmy Lewis had the energy, talent, imagination, and work ethic. This boy is going to make a difference. Turnbull knew it. He smiled within. It felt completely right for the first time. He mocked himself in a whisper. A Long Islander. I should have known it would happen like this. Just then, Lewis's mother approached the boy and gave him a hug, which he only grudgingly acknowledged, shaking loose as quickly as possible before his teammates might see it. "Mom, this is Mr. Turnbull. He's the man I met last night, the one from Johns Hopkins." "Doug Turnbull, ma'am," Turnbull offered as he extended his hand. "Your son is a rather remarkable player." "Thank you. He loves to play, and so does his brother Johnny. He's on the varsity. I like lacrosse a lot as well, but it's not always easy for a mother to watch." "I understand. My mother suffered through many, many games my brother and I played," Turnbull offered with a smile in admiration of his recently deceased mother. "What brings you to town, Mr. Turnbull?" "I work for the railroad in Baltimore. I'm here for some meetings with the people of your Long Island Railroad. I head back tomorrow. With your permission, I'd be honored if I could meet Jimmy at his training spot, the handball wall, for a few pointers that have been passed on to me." "That would be great, sure. Thank you." "Okay, Jimmy, I'll see you tomorrow then. I'll be waiting for you, sir." After his morning meeting, Turnbull met young Lewis at the handball court to study his mechanics and to provide some refinements to his training program. When Turnbull arrived, Jimmy was already well along in his regimen. Turnbull marveled at the boy's ability and focus. "So you said that you were trying to work on your vertical stick position?" "Yes, sir. I've tried to get it to the point where I could use it in a game, but it won't work." Turnbull smiled. "Jimmy, I hope you realize that you're going against the grain. I mean, what you are trying is very different from how we all grew up with the game, and I don't think anyone has approached playing quite like this. Certainly no one in Baltimore has ever seen anything like this before." "I really wouldn't know, sir. It just seems like the best way to carry and protect my stick and get rid of the ball. I mean, if I can keep my stick away from the defense, they won't really be able to check it." Turnbull watched as the boy attempted to hold the stick upright, cradle, then shoot. The boy's movements were remarkably good, but still not quite effective. "Here, let me try for a second," Turnbull asked, accepting Jimmy's stick. "You know, Jimmy, back in the 1930s and 40s, my brother Jack was a fantastic attackman. He was the only one I've ever seen who could come close to being able to control his stick like you were attempting. He came up with the thought fairly late in his career and was only beginning to perfect it. He died in World War II, so I never really got to see him master it. He totally dominated the game when he played. One newspaper man even called him the Babe Ruth of lacrosse. But he never did completely develop his concepts as he hoped he would." Turnbull continued, "How long have you been working on this?" "I don't know. A few months, I guess. My sticks have been difficult to handle. My brother and I even made homemade sticks with a broom handle, string, cloth, and metal wire just to see if I could get a better feel and balance. Those didn't really work, but they helped me see where the problems are. So I've tried to modify my sticks. I've been able to get it close, but still haven't been able to get it right. It's been frustrating. Turnbull was amazed by what he was hearing. How could a boy of this age have considered all of those subtle but significant aspects of lacrosse? Jimmy, it seems like some patience would be good here. You're certainly taking a good look at this. I have something that might help. With that, Turnbull produced the leather bag, which Robbie recognized immediately. His bag, with the same contents. Robbie and Red Hawk continued to watch. Here, try this one, Turnbull offered as he slid the stick out of its bag. Lewis held the stick in disbelief. He instantly sensed his intimate connection with the stick. He slowly cradled a ball, switched hands back and forth, and knew that with this he was about to achieve his goal and vision of how he should play the game. He threw the ball at a mark on the wall, striking it several times in a row. Turnbull detected the boy's newfound inspiration and felt Jack's presence among them. I've never hit the same spot like that all in a row, Mr. Turnbull, Lewis said excitedly. The boy hit it several more times and then looked at Turnbull. Did you know I would be able to do that with this stick? Well, I had a feeling. Would you like to keep it? Lewis was too stunned to accept. I can't, sir. I mean, why me? Please accept it. You'll learn why later on. Try cradling behind your shoulder. Lewis tried it for the first time, and he felt a perfect balance and fit. He'd been waiting and experimenting for months to attain this feel. He gently rocked the stick back and forth. He switched to his left hand with the same perfection. He knew where the ball was without having to make any unnecessary movements or looks at the stick. This was special. Lewis suddenly froze as a vision entered his mind's eye. The dazed boy reported it to Turnbull. Wow, I just saw a vision of an old-time player dodging a defenseman with the stick tucked behind his shoulder. Jim, there is a pretty good chance that player was Jack. I told you he had pulled off that move a couple times. It looks so natural. Why haven't players been able to do it before? Lewis asked, as if he had become a master in just a few minutes. I have to believe it's been a function of the weight and asymmetry of the stick, Jimmy. Players just haven't been able to control the stick in that position, until now. The self-confidence that overtook Lewis was intense and immediate. He suddenly felt that he had the instrument that would allow him to reach his potential. He thought that he was no longer bridled by the limitations of every stick he'd used in the past. He was a very good athlete, strong, incredibly quick on his feet and with his hands. All these attributes had been hampered on the lacrosse field whenever he picked up the ball. This would no longer be the case. He hoped to have an opportunity to use the stick in the next game. Lewis and Turnbull spent the next 2 hours tinkering with the stick. Lewis tried to improve his release and found the stick the smoothest he had ever touched. He switched hands from right to left and left to right from the vertical position. Balance, efficiency, quick release, the boy thought. This is so smooth. I can do this. Finally, Turnbull presented the wooden box to Lewis. Jimmy, these gifts have been passed to me, and now I pass them to you. I believe they will provide you with insight and wisdom far beyond anything you've ever conceived. Please enjoy them while you have them, and then pass them along to another at a time of your choosing. And please render the appropriate respect to these gifts and to the game of lacrosse. Lewis began his walk home, whispering a bit deviously to himself, I don't think I'll tell Johnny about this just yet. A little more for the sibling rivalry wouldn't be anything new. Robbie awoke from his sleep with nearly the same sense of destiny as Lewis had acquired in a dream. This stick is really, really special, he jotted quickly in his journal before he headed to breakfast. Chapter 7, The Wall. Good stick work is acquired only by hard, earnest, and sometimes monotonous practice. W. Kelso Morrow, Lacrosse. As he'd planned, Lewis visited the family about 3 weeks after the last meeting. He asked Robbie where the nearest wall might be for them to practice their skills. Robbie informed him that there was a suitable wall about 4 blocks away at an elementary school. They made the short walk and began throwing on the wall. Would you mind if I gave you a couple pointers, Robbie? That'd be great. I spent thousands of hours on the wall, Robbie. Mr. Turnbull showed me some drills I could practice. He and his brother Jack used to do this on the side of a barn. Maybe I can show you some of the things he taught me. I think they're still useful today. Mr. Turnbull used to tell me that having a system was the key to success. And so he showed me these drills in sets of tens, twenties, and hundreds, until I started to do them by time. I knew that it would take 5 or 10 minutes to do a certain number. So I'd recommend that you develop a plan and be systematic and disciplined about your approach to this part of your game. Block off certain time of day or days during the week to do this. Mr. Turnbull also used to tell me that in the course of a year, which is 1 hour a week, we would get as much work as we did in about 8 seasons of regular practice. Looking back at his assessment, I completely agree. You simply can't get to a high level in this game, or any other for that matter, without putting in the time. Mr. Turnbull sometimes called this the work in a vacuum, with no other players, coaches, or parents, just you, a ball, and the wall. You work and hone your skills here, and then get to perfect them in practice and against excellent competition in games. But this is also where you can spend some time to think of new ways, better ways, to play and succeed in the game. It may be a subtle change or an increase in how quickly and accurately you perform the fundamentals. But in the aggregate, your total grasp of the skills, your performance, and your confidence will improve. He also used to talk to me about the obligation a player has to his team to work at improvement. He'd say that a team could not reach its full potential unless all players did. I still think he's right. Lewis went through the array of skills, stopping at each part to observe Robbie's mechanics and to offer small but meaningful corrections. They started by throwing straight over the top, then around the clock at 2-hour intervals on both hands. Lewis talked as he demonstrated and encouraged Robbie to keep throwing as he offered suggestions. Lewis then backed Robbie away from the wall to about 25 yards to work on shooting the ball. On this, Robbie, work on macroscopic motion, your arms, shoulders, trunk, and legs. Get your hands up and out. Work on your three-quarter shot. After you get the mechanics, work on refining the shot. Aim for targets. You will ultimately want to shoot on the run. You can do that on the wall too. This drill is also good for catching hard passes. You can work on your shooting around the clock as well. Lewis demonstrated the skills a few times and then critiqued Robbie again. Lewis rolled a ball into the wall underhand so that it would return along the ground. This is a great way to work on your ground ball skills, Robbie. Get your body low as it returns, scoop the ball, and then get your stick back up to your helmet as quickly as possible. You should include a few sets of these every time. Then Lewis showed Robbie how to work on catching bad passes, a critical skill. Here, throw to the wrong side of your helmet. You should move a little closer to the wall, maybe 6 to 8 yards. Catch the ball backhanded and draw it back across your face. You can also throw balls low or wide. When you catch a bad pass, get your stick vertical into your helmet as quickly as possible, just like on ground balls. Robbie listened and worked to absorb all that he could. Lewis then showed Robbie a series of alternating hand exercises, changing hands right to left and left to right unconsciously as he talked. The boy marveled at the speed of the changes and the precision of the man's throws, exactly where he intended and with a nice zip on each. Oh yeah, and have some fun too. After you've completed some strong sets, reward yourself with some fun stuff. Behind the back, one hand, between the legs. You know, break up the monotony a little. I used to end my sets by trying to hit the same spot on the wall, say 50 times. I know that there is one mark on my wall back home that I hit at least 10,000 times with each hand. We'll look at some other skills next time we get a chance, some dodging maybe. There is much more you can do. Most of it is just a function of your imagination and desire to improve yourself and your team. And one last thing, work on deception. Make some fundamentals look similar up to the last moment of execution, and then, as a hunter lures its prey, strike with a different movement, as if you have sprung a trap or pulled away the bait as the hunter strikes. This is how you can improve your dodging and scoring. Robbie couldn't believe the depth of the insight that Lewis possessed and the value of his assistance. He could feel his improvement immediately.